Wow, Lord, you are so good. He is so awesome. I am so glad to be here. It's better than jail, better than a hospital, you know. So I'm just glad to be here today. God is good and faithful to us. I am so thankful for you today. It's so good to see you. You know, the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There is nothing like corporate worship. Nothing like it. When we can come together as a body of Christ and worship God and celebrate Him, and you know, I'm so thankful for everyone online this morning because you're joining in this corporate worship. But it's just something so good, and I believe this year is going to be a great year for you. God's got good in store for all of us this year, amen. And it's going to be a marvelous year, and I'm just setting up this year. You know, me and Holly are sowing, and we're believing God for some great things, and I'm just looking forward to this year and what God's got for you, because there's going to be manifestation taking place in your life this year. You're going to see some good, praise God. You're going to see some good this year in your life, in your family life, in your business. God's going to just do some amazing things, and He's just kind of setting us up. So I want you to get ready and be in expectation of some good things happening for your family this year, and just believe God's got the best in store. Amen. How many can believe that with Pastor, that God's got the best in store for me this year? That I believe it's going to be a year of overflowing abundance. Amen. Open doors of opportunity set before us. It's going to be a year of restoration. Amen. God is in the restoring business. You know, whatever you may have lost in the last year or even in your lifetime, I believe God is going to restore that this year. God's going to do some amazing things, and I'm just trusting God for a great year. I forget those things which are behind. Man, I forget all that stuff. Praise God. And I choose to believe the report of the Lord. And I know God's report is good. So why don't you stand this morning and turn to Joel 2:25. And we're going to talk about restoration again today. Specifically, we're going to talk about how do I receive restoration? How do I receive restoration? Listen to what he says. He says, so I will restore. Everybody say restore. To you, the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, the chewing locusts, my great army which I sent among you. But God emphasizes here, and God says, I will restore. God wants to restore to us, amen, personally, anything that we have lost. Amen. If you believe that, hold up your Bibles this morning and say this with your pastor today. Say it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to three people and say, God's got restoration for you. Would you do that? Amen. So God is a God of restoring to us. God doesn't want us going around with lack or loss. God doesn't want you lacking in any area of your life. Amen. He doesn't want you lacking anything. He doesn't want you losing anything. God wants you to have a life that is abundant and full, praise God, blessed of Him and favored of Him. So we're declaring this year the year of complete restoration. Anything that you've lost, you start claiming restoration over it. You start thanking God for restoration. Because when God restores, He does it in quality and He does it in quantity. Amen? So no matter what the enemy ripped off from you, God wants to restore it 120%. Wow. 120%. So anything you feel like has been ripped off, God is wanting to restore that to you. 120%. He said in Jeremiah 30:17, He said, I will restore health to you. Healing and health is God's plan for our life. I hate sickness. Anybody with me? I hate sickness. I hate if I come under attack and don't feel good. And, you know, the past few weeks, Holly and I have battled this thing and got on top of it. And I'm so thankful, amen, because of the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible says He sent His Word and healed them. The Word of God is health to us. It is life to us. When you're battling sickness, the greatest thing you can do is get into the Word of God, get into healing scriptures, and begin to quote those scriptures, confess those scriptures, rebuke the enemy, amen, take your authority, and know that by His stripes we are healed. And Jeremiah says, it is God that restores to us, amen. God restores to us, praise God, our health. Over in Deuteronomy 33 in the NIV, I love this. It says this, then the Lord God will restore your fortune. You know, some people have been ripped off financially this year, but it's God's will for you to prosper. Four of you agree with that. It is God's will for you to prosper. Come on, somebody. It is God's will for you to prosper. Amen. You know, somebody outside the ministry gave the ministry for the cameras and support $20,000. They know it. Yeah, you can give God some praise. Amen. They know it's God's will for them to prosper. And it's the reason God's will prospers people is so God can get it through us. Amen. And God blesses us so He can get it through us. Somebody asked me there not long ago, says, I've got an offering and I don't know where I should give it. Should I give it to McIntosh Ministries or to the church? And I said, you know what? Let's give it to the church. I want to sow it to the church. Amen. Because many times when God blesses you with something, it's not for you. It's for somebody else to be blessed. Amen. And so, you know, but God desires that He restores anything the enemy has ripped off for us financially. You know, if you've been ripped off an investment, God wants to restore that. Amen. God wants to bring that back to you. And when He brings it back to you, He wants to bring it back 120%. Woo! Hallelujah. Why? So that you can be blessed on top of your blessing to be a blessing. Man, I'm telling you, God is a good God. Amen. He said, I will restore to you fortunes. I love that. Restore to you fortunes. He's not stingy. Amen. He doesn't mind us being blessed. Praise God. I believe God wants your house paid off, your vehicles paid off. Amen. Your credit cards paid off. Shouldn't even have any of those. Credit cards paid off. He wants to bless you abundantly so that you can be such a blessing to others. Amen. Man, and I love Psalm 71, 21 in the NLT. It says this, you will restore me, you will restore me to even greater honor and comfort me once again. You know, so many people, you know, they've just fallen into shame and they've fallen into guilt and they've fallen into condemnation. And, you know, many times when you feel like you're so low that you just can't hardly believe for anything anymore, but God says, no, 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 I want you to start believing again. I want you to start putting me first in your life. I want you to know I'm going to restore you to greater honor. I'm going to restore to you and bring comfort to your heart again. Where there's shame, I'm going to give you honor. Where there's guilt, I'm going to give you honor and greater honor. God is that good. So, you know, no matter what may have happened in your life this past year or years, you know, maybe health, broken relationship, finances, God is in the restoration business. Amen. You don't have to live in defeat or lack any longer. Oh, come on, give God some praise. Amen. You don't have to live in defeat or lack any longer. You don't have to live in poor health. You do not have to live in poor health. God wants you healthy. Amen. God wants you whole. Why? Not because of anything you've done, but because of the finished work of Jesus. Amen. Jesus wants to restore and bring you to health. Look at Isaiah real quick. Isaiah 61, verse 7. Look at this scripture. I love this scripture. It's awesome. Amen. In Isaiah 61, verse 7, instead of shame, you shall have what? Double honor, and instead of confusion, you shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double everlasting joy be theirs. Amen? Everlasting joy. What a powerful word. Double honor. This is talking about blessing upon blessing in your life. You can expect double for your trouble. Come on, somebody. You can expect double for your trouble. Whatever the enemy's trouble you with, expect double blessing in return. Amen? Thank you, Lord. You can expect that. No more confusion. No more confusion. God will give you clear direction. Amen? And you will possess double. And then he said this, everlasting joy shall be yours. Everlasting joy, not just something that's temporary, that comes because of an experience or a circumstance, but that eternal joy of the Lord, everlasting joy shall be yours. Not based on our government, not based on our healthcare system, not based on whatever the stock market's doing, but based on the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our, amen? So you say, Pastor, how do we receive restoration? I'm glad you asked me that this morning. So how do you receive restoration? There's two ways you receive it. And I want us to look for just a moment at Ruth, in the book of Ruth. She was a young married woman for a few years. And looking forward, no doubt, to a blissful family and life with her children and her own. And then the unthinkable happened. Her husband suddenly died. So overnight, all of her hopes, listen to this, all of her hopes came to naught. Her future was uncertain. Although her mother-in-law urged her to return to her own town to start afresh, the young woman refused, clinging to her mother-in-law instead. And this is what she said. I want you to look at Ruth 1. If you've got your Bibles or look up here, Ruth 1 and verse 16 and 17. Listen to what she said. She said, entreat me not to leave you. Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And listen to what she said. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me. The Lord do so to me, and more also if anything but death parts you and me. Here Ruth made a decision to follow her mother-in-law into Israel, where her being a Moabite, Ruth was a Moabite, understanding that they were an outcast to Israel, right? So no doubt she knew persecution would probably come her way, but she made a decision, amen, to follow not only her mother-in-law, but to follow God, amen? And she may be dwelling in unfavorable circumstances, but her declaration of faith in the God of Israel revealed her dependence on the Lord, whom she looked to for divine opportunities. So what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is this was the foundation of Ruth's restoration. Ruth believed in the Lord. She turned to the Lord, and not only did she believe in the Lord, but she believed in the goodness of God, and she believed that God was able to help and restore her. She, being a Moabite, confessed out of her mouth the Lord God, amen, and says, I'm not going to go anywhere but where you go. Come on, somebody, amen. So she opened her mouth and declared her faith in God. When we open our mouth, we begin to declare the goodness and favor of God over our circumstances. And when we begin to declare the goodness and the favor of God over any adversity in our life, things have got to change. Things cannot remain the same when you believe that God is a good God and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. things begin to shift and things begin to happen when we know that we serve a good God. And she established this with her mouth. When you put your mouth on something that agrees with God's word, then change is coming your way. Change cannot help but come your way when you open up your mouth and you confess the goodness of God's word over that situation. Don't get to a place where you feel hopeless, amen, because there's always hope with God. He is a good, good Father, and he wants to reward us and restore everything that the enemy has stolen from us. And it starts with our confession, amen. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:13. Restoration begins with what we believe and what we say. Restoration begins with what we believe and what we say. Amen? Wow. 1 Corinthians 4:13, is that it, brother? Okay. That's not what I'm wanting. I wanted to go to a different one. I'll read it to you. We have the same spirit of faith according to as it is written. I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we what? We speak. What do we speak? We speak what we believe. We speak God's word over the situation. Look at Job 22 and 28. Job 22, 28. He says, you will also declare a thing, and it will be what? Established for you. When we declare something out of our mouth, lining up with the word of God, it's going to be established for us. In other words, it is going to come to pass for you. So light will shine on your way. Man. What did Ruth do? She declared a thing. She declared that she was going to trust and believe in God in spite of her circumstances. In spite of losing her husband, losing her future, she said, no, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to believe God, that God is going to change things for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Recognizing that there's a divine connection between our belief and our speech helps us make the right confession and leads to restoration. So start speaking over your life, over those dead situations, and start believing in your heart that those things are going to come up and be restored to you. Amen? It's like Ezekiel. I think Kay, and thanks Kay for speaking last week. You did an awesome job. She's talking about Ezekiel where God led him to the valley of dry bones. And God said, hey, you think these can live? And Ezekiel says, only you know, Lord. And God told Ezekiel, he said, what I want you to do, Ezekiel, I want you to speak or prophesy life into these bones. And he began to speak and prophesy life, and then he began to prophesy breath, and they stood up a great army. When we begin to declare the goodness of the Lord over anything the enemy has ripped off, amen, it is going to initiate the restoration process. Amen. I believe that. I receive that. Hallelujah. So we declare those things over anything that's dead or anything that's stolen in our life. We prophesy to those things. We say, get up, get life, be healed, be strengthened, be renewed, be refreshed in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare that today. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Ruth trusted in the Lord as she embarked on an extraordinary task of finding work to support her mother-in-law and herself became her launching pad to God's incredible restoration in her life. Look what she said in Ruth 2:2. She said this, Ruth 2:2. So Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, please let me go to the field, glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So first, God gave Ruth favor to glean the barley in the harvest field of Boaz. Boaz was a wealthy, close relative of Ruth's late husband. Boaz was extremely kind to Ruth, allowing her to gather more than enough grain in the field for both her and her mother-in-law daily need. But God had so much more in mind. Listen to me. than a mere survival for Ruth. He blessed her with a husband, Boaz himself, and with a child, Obed, who became the grandfather of King David. Are you listening to me? Whose name was recorded in the ancestry of Jesus Christ, Ruth herself being recorded there in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And when it seems almost impossible in the natural, Ruth's life went from empty to overflowing. From empty to overflowing, amen? Imagine having no family, amen? Not a loving husband, no son. And all of a sudden, God's favor ushers in on you because of the words you declare. Hallelujah. And here you are, got a husband, have a son, in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. I'm telling you, that is restoration and the favor of the Lord. Amen. And Boaz became her kinsman redeemer. And a kinsman redeemer had to have three qualities. Number one, he had to be a close relative. Well, that was Boaz, amen? Number two, he had to want to. He had to want to. And number three, he had to have the provision to do so. We have a kinsman redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. He came and dwelt among us. He took on flesh, hallelujah. He became one of us, praise God. And not only that, he wanted to redeem us. He went to the cross sacrificially, right? And the Bible says he became poor that you and I might become rich. So he had the monetary means to do it as well. That is the God we serve. We have been redeemed by this kinsman redeemer called Jesus Christ, that everything the enemy has tried to rip from us might come back to us. Come on, somebody, give him some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Boaz was the best kinsman redeemer, but we have a better one named Jesus. He is so good. Hallelujah. So here's the second thing you do. While you confess over those situations, the second thing you do is rest. Turn to somebody and say, rest. God's best is when we rest. God's best is when we rest. When you rest in God, he goes to work on your behalf. Look at Ruth 2:17. Ruth 2:17. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. An ephah of barley was about a 10-day supply. She was in the field, she was working, and it was about a 10-day supply. But she went and she rested at Boaz's feet, right? And look at Ruth 3:15. She went and rested at Boaz's feet. Also, he said, bring the shawl that is on and hold it. And when she held it, he measured six ephahs of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. She went as her own working from a 10-day supply to resting to a 60-day supply. Wow. What does that say? When we're resting, God is working. When we're resting in that finished work, when we know God's got our best in mind, when we know God is for us and not against us, when we know God wants to bless us more than we want to bless ourselves, amen, we just take that upon us and we rest in our spirit and trust in him that he's going to supply every need in our life according to his riches and glory. Man, I can't tell you the time in life I want to do it. Anybody ever have the I want to do it thing? Come on, somebody. Anybody like pastor, and you just got to get your hands in there, right? You just got to try your best. Let me try to figure this out. Let me try to wrestle this. Let me try to do this. Man, I've done that so much in my life. I'm just kind of one of those go-getter guys. And I just want to jump in and do it. But, man, God has taught me it's much better to just rest in him. It doesn't mean that I'm not active, but in my spirit, man, I'm at rest. Amen. It doesn't mean you don't go out and put out a resume. It doesn't mean that you don't go out and look for a better job. But what it does mean is that you're at rest knowing God's got you. Yeah. Amen. It doesn't mean you're not active, praise God, but you're resting in your spirit. You're resting on the finished work of Jesus. And when you're resting, God is working. Look at Ruth 3:18. Ruth 3:18, look at this. Then she said, "Set still, my daughter. Set still." The Bible says, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. "Set still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day." Naomi says, "Ruth, chill, baby." Can you imagine how she must have felt? I imagine she was so anxious. You could tell she was kind of like, "I want to get in. I want to work. I want to do this." But Naomi said, "No, daughter, set still. Set still." And Noah says, "Until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest." God is not going to rest on your behalf until that promise comes through. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. God is not going to rest on your behalf until the promise comes through. God is not going to rest on your behalf until the promise comes through. You know, some of you have buried that promise. You've just said, you know, it's been too long. It just hasn't worked out. But I want to tell you, you need to start turning and believing God. You need to start trusting God again. You need to resurrect that dream again. Say, "Lord, I believe. Praise God. I believe, Lord, you've got good for me. You've got good for my family. God, you want to bless my body. Amen. You want to bless me with good health, Lord. You want to bless my family with finances and provision. God, thank you, Lord, for just raising me up out of this doldrum and setting me on a solid ground. Hallelujah. God, for giving me a good direction in my life." Turn to somebody and say, "God's got good for you." Amen. God got good for you. As long as Ruth rested, Boaz would not rest until he resolved that situation. And instead of just getting a small portion, she got the whole field. She got the whole field. Come on, somebody. She got the whole field. She got the whole house. She got everything that Boaz had. Amen. Because she decided to trust in God and rest. And restoration came back to her better than it ever had been before. Amen. And ended up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. That is, man, that is favor. Praise God. God's got that same favor for you. Listen to me. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your hope. Amen. God's got good for you. Let's stand this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's give God some praise. Amen. You can rest in his faithfulness. Amen. You can rest in his faithfulness this morning. God is always faithful. Turn to somebody and say, "God's always faithful." Amen. Would you hold up your hands right now and let's confess to the Lord. Come on, confess with the pastor today. "Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness." Come on, say it out loud. "Thank you, Lord. You're the God of more than enough. The God of restoration. Thank you, Lord, for raising up my dreams, my hopes. Lord, I put my confidence in you today. As Ruth did, I rest in your promises. All of your promises are yes and amen. I receive it today, Lord, every promise of God for my family, for my finances, for my life. I receive it today. Lord, thank you for restoring. Thank you for restoring 120% in Jesus' mighty name." Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that today? Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody this morning. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're glad you're here today. Thank you for being with us. Your love this morning. God bless you. Amen.